MJ, right field and deep. Back goes Brennan. It is gone. How's that for bragging rights?
Break up the Royals. It's the middle, late September, and now they're finally hitting their stride. That is Royals baseball. MJ Melendez home run, that gave the Royals a two-run lead in the first. It was 4-0. Royals pushed the lead to 7-2, then hang on by the hair on their chinny-chin-chin. 1-2-3 ninth for Colin Snyder for his first career save. Royals are up to 50 wins. That's closer to my prediction when we re-evaluated where they were. What was it, about a month ago? I said 52, you said 50, and about a week ago we were like, oh God, they ain't going to get to either one of those. Now they're at 50. And the worst record ever for the Royals is 56-106. So the Royals are now 50-102. There's 10 games left, which means they have to go 7-3 to avoid their worst record in franchise history. 6-4 would mean that they tie it. 5-5 or worse means they have their worst season ever in Royals franchise history. By the way, do you know the worst record ever in Major League Baseball? I learned something new last night. I thought I knew the answer, but I did not.
I used to know it, but it's not in my head right now. Is it 38 wins?
38 wins? No. No. How about we focus on the losses?
So I'm going to say...
Most losses ever.
I'll say 138 losses.
138 losses. So I knew that the Tigers lost 119 games, and I knew the Mets lost 120. So I thought the answer was 120 because the Mets in 1962 went 40-120. That's the modern day record. But my 9-year-old, because technology's so grand, was able to prove I was wrong, which he enjoys that. And he said, "No, you're wrong, Dad." And I'm like, "No, that's right." And like, "No, you're not, Dad." I'm like, "Okay, fine. Enlighten me." The Cleveland Spiders in 1899, Dad, had 134 losses. I'm like, that's not the modern day.
See, and that's what was in my mind when I was going past 130, is I had seen that somewhere before.
Right.
And so I figured the 120 wasn't right.
Right. And then I said to him, I said, well, but Major League Baseball probably wasn't formed yet. That was a professional team. Then I look up. No, it was formed before the Spiders. So it was 1886 is when MLB was formed, I guess. Mm-hmm. So anywho, the modern era is considered 1901 to now. So I had the modern era record. I had it right with 120. But when you consider all time ever, the Cleveland Spiders won 20 games and lost 134. They were 84 games out of first. And their winning percentage is 130. So if you think the A's and Royals are bad, that was really, really bad back in 1899. That's the worst ever, according to my 9-year-old, and that's according to what he looked up, and that would be correct. In the modern era, it would be the Mets with 120. So the Royals aren't going to hit 120. They're not going to hit 119. The worst they could do would be 112 in the year on a 10-game losing streak, which is very, very possible. Very possible.
Yes.
So the Royals do win yesterday. They have the final game of the 3-game set with the Guardians coming up at 1:10 this afternoon. Brady Singer's been shut down, which makes sense. Some back tightness. He finishes up and down season 8-11, ERA of 5.52. Another baseball note, Angel star Shohei Ohtani had elbow surgery yesterday to repair the torn UCL in his right elbow. He finished the season with 44 homers, 95 RBIs, 20 stolen bases. On the mound, he was 10-5, ERA at 3.14 in 23 starts. He will be and should be the American League MVP, although Corey Seager's been playing really well and coming on for the Rangers. Ohtani is expected to make a full recovery. His doctor stated to expect Ohtani to be available only as a hitter next year, and in 2025 he would return to the mound, which would make sense. That would make sense. He's also a free agent, so be interested to see what his worth is now without being able to pitch next year and just being a full-time hitter, whether a DH or a right fielder. And then would somebody be overpaying because they think he'll be back to form in 2025? So we'll see if the Angels can re-sign him or if he goes to the Dodgers or somewhere else trying to win a championship. Coming up, I'm going to tell you about a game that we play in the front yard now at my house, and I hate it. And I'm going to update you on Travis Kelce's love life. But before we get to those very important things,
hard hitting issues this morning.
Very similar. Oh, hard hitting issues. We also have K-State in focus. K-State with a lot of injuries due to some hard hits. And KU Lance Leipold, I know you played the cut yesterday, but I want to go back and revisit what he said yesterday. And we're going to look at the Patrick Mahomes contract in more detail and break down the numbers a little bit and tell you why there's so many reasons to be super ecstatic about this contract if you're a Chiefs fan, not be worrying about, oh my God, he's making too much money. That's coming up in just a little bit. So, but first, we hand it over to Dusty for local sports, a lot of volleyball last night.
Beloit Lady Trojans on the road to Sacred Heart, Beloit getting a sweep in both matches there in Salina as they won 25-16, 25-10, and then 25-23, 25-10 in the second match. Lady Trojans are now 21-2. They're 4-0 in the North Central Activities Association. Their 18th and 19th consecutive wins here this season. Also at the Rock Hills Triangular, the Lady Grizzlies did something, two things they've never done in quite some times, and one thing they had never done, actually, and that was beating Lakeside 25-15, 25-27, and 25-21, their first win over Lakeside since September 30th of 2014, and they beat St. John's Tipton 25-22 and 25-23, and that was Rock Hills' first ever win over St. John's Tipton since that cooperative formed back in 2011-12. So the Lady Grizzlies picking up two big wins for the program last night. St. John's Tipton beat Lakeside in 25-22 and 25-22 in the other match there. So Osborne Triangular, Osborne beat Southern Cloud 25-19, 25-16. They beat Lincoln 25-18 and 20. And then Lincoln beat Southern Cloud 19-18. And at the Smith Center Triangular, the Letty Red pick up two more wins as they're now 12-1 on the season. They beat Oakley 25-12-19, and then they beat Stockton 25-19-18. They also celebrated Cameron Hutchinson, who picked up her 2,000th career assist over the weekend at the Republic County Tournament. So, again, congratulations to Cam there, and Smith Center going 2-0 there last night. You can find full schedules and scores from volleyball on Tuesday at the website at ncksports.com. We also remind everybody, high school football locker room chats are coming up tonight. We'll talk with the coaches of Beloit, Osborne, Smith Center, and Thunder Ridge around 5:15 this evening on Katie Country 94 and katiecountry94.com. And tomorrow night, we'll talk with the coaches of St. John's, Tipton, Lakeside, and Rock Hills. And then we have high school football coverage coming up Friday with the Football Express presented by Cunningham Telephone and Cable at 5:40. And then on Katie Country 94, we have the Osborne County Showdown, the district opener, Osborne at Lakeside, pregame 6:30, kickoff 7 o'clock on Z96.3 in the Beloit Trojan Channel. Beloit hosting Russell to start district play in 2A. Pregame 6:30, kickoff at 7. And then we'll conclude with the local high school football school board show at 10:05 Friday night from State Farm Insurance, Beloit, and Osborne. So plenty of football coverage coming your way at the end of the week, beginning tonight with the locker room chats.
Rock Hills had some nice wins over St. John's Tipton this year. Football and volleyball, there's some big time wins for them, and that's gonna make them feel pretty good. I mean, eventually you break through, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And programs that, you know, have put in a lot of work and a lot of time, and sometimes it just doesn't always work out for them. But they're, you know, they've had a couple good finishes at tournaments here recently. The Rock Hills volleyball team has, and Rock Hills football team's already matched their season win total from last year. So, yeah, they're feeling pretty good and excited about what's going on up there, I would imagine.
All right, so the two big stories we got to get to before K-State and Focus, KU and Patrick Mahomes' contract. Jason Kelce has confirmed via an interview on a podcast that Travis Kelce is dating Taylor Swift. That has been confirmed this morning. And I just want to say I dislike her even more now. I'm not a gigantic Taylor Swift fan, although I really like her as a person, even though I've never met her. I think she stands for the right things. Her music, I do like some songs of hers. I do. Maybe it's because mainstream radio and everywhere kills great songs by playing them over and over and over. I am so sick of Anti-Hero, I could puke. You know, she's got lots of other songs. Let's rotate them in a little bit. And she's got newer songs besides that one. But she is an amazing talent, no doubt. She could run for president right now and she might win. And that actually might not be a bad thing at all. That would definitely bring us to the younger candidate. Well, I'd love to have some younger people that would be, you know, it'd be great to have our main candidates. No offense to people that are older here, but I don't think we need the same people over and over running for president. Like, could we just have, like, let's get some new, young, vibrant people in there with maybe some fresh new ideas. That would be awesome. Now, I know that's just a pipe dream, apparently. But anywho, I digress. She once stayed at a hotel in Stockton. Taylor Swift did when she was a teenager performing at the Ricks County Fair. And she's a pretty big deal. Travis Kelce is a pretty big deal now. He's also known as El Travador.
Oh, look, you did.
All right, Dusty, you don't get that excited. So, so Travis Kelce, I'm starting to worry about this relationship already. And, you know, listen, I don't really care what happens in Travis Kelce's love life. I don't care what happens in Taylor Swift's love life until it affects me. And I'm affected. If the Kansas City Chiefs and Travis Kelce can't catch a touchdown pass, if Travis Kelce's all irate and upset because he can't see Taylor on game day, and that's why he's getting enforcement-like penalties and going after guys like he was at the end of the Jaguar game, then we have a real problem here, and this relationship needs to end, and it needs to end quickly. Yes, I said it. Kelce and Swifty, they need to end if this is going to impact the Chiefs in a negative way. This relationship has to end. I don't care about Travis Kelce's happiness. All I care about is my own and Chiefs kingdom. So I'm standing up for the kingdom, and I say to Taylor Swift, back away. If you know what's good for you, back away, all right? Go ahead and date during the off season. Have a three-month-a-year relationship. It works for some people. And then the honeymoon period is over, and all you're going to need 3 months before you're going to be tired of Travis Kelce. Come on now. And he'll be tired of you. That's just how it's going to be. So let's just go ahead and eliminate the song and dance here, no pun intended, and go ahead and reestablish this relationship. Put it on a break. Break up before Valentine's Day. That's what Dusty's philosophy always was. We talked about that one time. But yeah, this is concerning because I think his attitude is really, really changing. And if Travis Kelce thinks he's better than everybody else because he's dating Taylor Swift, well, he might be, but we don't need it. We don't need it. We're trying to win a Super Bowl. We don't need his distractions. Where's everybody up in arms and upset about this? Well, Chris Jones is a distraction. Do you not think this is a distraction? It absolutely is. Taylor Swift is a distraction in Travis Kelce. We saw it in the first game he played. For crying out, the rumors are he didn't even have an injury his first game. He was busy texting and calling Taylor. Hey, baby, I love you. Okay, I made all this stuff up, by the way, if you didn't know. Other than this, Jason Kelce did, this is true, I heard it from his own mouth, on a podcast this morning that it's kind of interesting. He admitted that there's something that I'm like, whoa, okay. Everybody's like not expecting
this. Travis was probably telling Jason to do it for him, you know, like, I'm tired of these questions. Can you do this for me?
Maybe so. So supposedly the rumors are true. Jason Kelce says they are 100% true. So Taylor Swift and Travis Kelce are apparently dating. Now, what does that all mean when you're miles apart from one another? And she's on tour and he's playing football games. I have no idea. Is it a real relationship? No idea. At the end of the day, as I say all those things tongue in cheek, if you didn't understand them, if people are going to run and go, Wade hates Taylor Swift and Travis Kelce and Taylor Swift, he doesn't care about, he all he cares about is himself. That was all tongue in cheek. That was all sarcasm. That was all having fun with the situation. I don't care who Travis Kelce dates. I don't care if it's a man or a woman. I don't care. All I care about for me as a Chiefs fan is that he performs on Sundays. That's it. And by the way, that's how pretty much all fans are. All of you fans out there that sit there and act like you care about these players so much, Larry Johnson, Derek Thomas had all kinds of issues off the field. Nobody cared about his issues off the field and, you know, having a whole bunch of, you know, being a dad multiple times. Nobody seemed to care about him and his exploits off the field. All they cared about was he sacked the quarterback on Sundays. George Brett, nobody cared that he was hungover and came to the ballpark hungover at least a few times and yet could still hit the baseball. Nobody cared as long as he played well. Larry Johnson, Kansas City, most people didn't care if he was beating up a girlfriend as long as he ran for 150 yards and 3 touchdowns on Sunday. You just kind of glossed over it. That's how fans are, okay? You know, the first thing a lot of fans do, the diehard fans, is when there's a player that gets in trouble with the law, their first thought isn't, is the victim okay? It's, oh my God, is he going to be able to play next week? Because we need him to win the game. And that's the wrong way to be thinking about it. So I don't care who Travis Kelce dates. I really don't. As long as he is focused on what he needs to do, and I'm sure the Chiefs organization feels the exact same way.
It's funny on a lot of this stuff, like when you think of, like, you know, when Tony Romo was dating Jessica Simpson and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. Like, all this stuff gets blown out of proportion. Oh, yeah. Like, they're acting like they're not performing because he dated Carrie Underwood, too, for a little bit, if did. I remember right. That's so it's like everything gets blown way out of proportion. And if they have one bad game, it's because, well, they're distracted because they're dating
their relationship.
I remember when Colin Klein got married in the off season between his junior and senior year in 2011 and 2012 at K-State. And people were like, oh,
he might lose focus because he got married. And I'm like, do you know Colin Klein and who he married and what their families are about? I think the focus is still going to be there. And then all he did was, you know, make it to New York as a Heisman finalist that year. So it's like, and was the only honest Heisman finalist out there.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely.
No, but it's just funny when people go crazy over that kind of stuff. I'm with you. If Travis Kelce is there and performing for the Chiefs, he can do whatever he, and even if he's not there and performing for the Chiefs, for me, he can do whatever he wants. It's his life, right? Like, and you know, I'm sure the Chiefs will have discussions with him if it becomes a distraction or something like that. That's beyond us. They'll take care of that on their end.
Isn't it funny how people immediately react, and fans in particular, when a player doesn't do well and they immediately want to blame the relationship? Well, like, I'll give you one more example. Oh, dear God. Well, the reason we're struggling is Mahomes distracted because of his baby. Yeah. It's like, yeah, and then they just won the Super Bowl last year. So that kills that idea, doesn't it? There's never this. You never hear this. Man, Travis Kelce really needs to find a good girl and settle down because he just seems to be riled up. He needs somebody to tame him, and the fact that he's single is hurting the team. Do you hear that?
No.
No! It's always the relationship is the problem. No, maybe it's that you don't have a relationship and don't have that person to support you. You know, obviously Mahomes has Brittany and supports him big time. And Travis, he's even talked about, you can see that he's jealous of his brother Jason, who's married and has mm-hmm. kids and so forth and so on. And they've joked about on the New Heights podcast about all that. So that's the end of Travis Kelce's love life on the Sports Ticket for now. But stay tuned. We'll have a new episode tomorrow. By the way, have you ever played spike ball?
I've not.
Don't. Sucks. So my oldest son won some spike ball game. It's called spike ball.
I have heard the term before. But
I've seen it. I'd seen it. And I thought, oh, that looks kind of fun. And so, what was it? This past weekend or something recently, they pulled out my youngest and my oldest pulled out the spike ball game. And so there's a small circular net with a metal frame around it, and then there's four legs, and it sits about 6 inches off the ground. And then you have a partner. You can't really do it one versus one. You need to have, you could have six people, I guess, but four people probably works out best. And this is what we're learning. And so my youngest, who's nine, and myself are on a team. And then my wife and my oldest are on the other team. And what you do is you take the ball and you tap it or hit it open-handed into the net. It's got to hit the net, bounce up, and then you can either try to hit it right back on the net. And it only can bounce once, but it can't hit the frame, apparently. We have all kind of controversies on this stuff. And then bounces off, and the other team's got to get it back and bounce it off the net back, and that's kind of how it goes. So it's in a way, it's kind of like tennis or pickleball from the standpoint that you've got to hit it back. The difference is you've got to actually – you don't want to hit the net in pickleball or tennis, so you're in trouble, whereas here you want to bounce it off a net, and then it's in play. And you can pass it. So you can pass it to your teammate. They could pass it back to you. You get three hits like volleyball. So there's some volleyball characteristics to this as well. So if you can get a perfect setup from your teammate – you can spike the living daylights out of this small little rubber ball and into the net, and then maybe hit it over the person's head where they can't get it, and you get the point. Mm. And it's rally scoring. You get a point no matter what. It's going to break up my family. I mean, there's no other way to describe this. This spike ball stuff's getting serious, and I'm a competitive person. So I don't like to lose a lot. I'm okay dealing with losing, but when I never win, there's hell to pay. And so my 9-year-old and I, we I think we lost 10, 11, 12, I lost track, straight matches. And he does okay. I do okay, but I'm not grasping this very well. And it's frustrating because I usually do decent in whatever game I play. Decent. I'm not saying I'm a star at everything. Some games I'm very good at. Some games I'm not so good at. But I can at least know I can win from time to time, right? Whether it's board games, card games. You know, whether it's athletic sport games, whatever, fine. If I've lost in pickleball before, no big deal. I've lost in tennis before, no big deal, but I know I can win. But spike ball, it just doesn't happen. And so yesterday, I'm like, you know what? We could change up the teams. And my 9-year-old says, no, Dad, we're going to win. And I love the spirit of my 9-year-old. But he's wrong. Because we played three more games and we did not win. And then finally it was like, you know what? Let's just have the old people, which is mom and dad, versus the young people, the kids. And we played, and lo and behold, my wife and I won one game. And my oldest son is talking major league trash to me as he toys with me when he starts to get in a rhythm serving the ball. So when he bounces it hard off the net, I'm back prepared. And then he does the little tiny soft change up.
Yeah.
Okay. So yesterday, I almost pulled my groin because we were on the grass and we're trampling it down in these spots around this net. And it's dry. We know the conditions are dry. We need rain. And I go back to get the ball and my left foot slips out from underneath me. And I don't know how I didn't pull something. Now, listen, it's already bad enough I never win at this bleeping game. But to get hurt playing it, I don't know. So something's got to change. And so my oldest, he talks smack on me. He thinks it's great and so forth and so on. He says, I suck at this game. I'm no good at this game. And I'm like, I'm aware. And then I said, but let's go play tennis or pickleball, and I'll put you in your place. We each have our strengths. We each have our weaknesses. But my kryptonite, apparently, is spikeball. So if you drive by, if you happen to know where I live, and you drive by and you see me, you know, throwing things, cursing, it's like any other day, except that I'm really upset with spike ball, and I might chuck the ball at your car if you laugh at me if you go by, and it's rubber, so it's not going to hurt. And odds are, the way I'm going to spike ball, I'll miss the car completely anyway. But spike ball, you know, want to play it yourself? That's great, but for some reason, I just haven't been able to control this rubber ball for spike ball to where I can. I got better at serving it last night, so maybe I'm getting a little bit better from that standpoint. But when you have your oldest talking trash on you, you just want him to take this job and shove it, as Johnny Paycheck would say, right? So, does it ever happen with you and your anybody, your nephews, when you get together and play anything like that, where you're like, man, I wish I was better at this, or I know if I was younger, I was better at this, or if I played it more, I'd be better at it, or you know what, I just don't think it's ever going to click for me. Have you done that? Have you gotten in a competitive situation with your nephews or other people that your age or something? Who knows what it might be?
I can't remember anything like what I would call like that, kind of like obscure, right? Like not a, mm-hmm. not something that's established that I've done for a long time. Right.
Sure.
Like the last thing I did with my nephew was play tennis 3 hours before I broke my collarbone.
But,
and as you're talking about spike ball, I'm like, I'm on the disabled list for any sports that involve me using force
with
my arm.
With your arm, right?
Well, I could use my left, but it's not going to be very effective, right?
I think you might be as good with one arm as me with two in spike ball.
But I can't think of, you know, I put myself in a position to have success against my nephews. No, we... And even like we play, I'm just trying to think of what maybe I've done with them, you know, but most of it's just regular stuff, like cornhole, you know, stuff like that. Mm-hmm. Nothing mm-hmm. too extreme that I've never gone out and done before. They beat me in cornhole usually because mm-hmm. my muscle memory needs to be better when I'm playing that game, no doubt.
Yeah. Well, spike ball, I think I need a paddle instead of my bare hand. And then... You know, then you can make all excuses. Well, it was the wind outside, we're too close to the net. And then the ball hits the frame, and they're like, and my son says, well, it can't hit the frame, but then he hits one, hits the frame, and he counts it. I'm like, I thought you said it couldn't hit the frame. Well, no, you can, but just not in this severe angle. I'm like, what the heck? This isn't trigonometry or geometry here. What are we talking about? So then I argue something, and he's like, oh, fine, just take the point. I'm like, no, I don't want your freaking charity. Just redo the point. How about that? Let's just redo the point if we can't agree on it. It's fun. It's a fun competitive thing. If you're listening thinking I'm actually that super serious about it, I'm not. But I did get a little frustrated yesterday when we never freaking win. It's like, come on, throw a dog a bone every once in a while. But then at the same time, I would be really ticked if somebody purposely lost to let me win. That would drive me even more bonkers. So
I will say I don't put myself in competitive situations with my sister Trisha's youngest. We need to teach him how to lose.
How to lose?
Yeah.
Yeah, my youngest.
He takes it seriously. Ooh. When he loses.
And my 9-year-old's that way,
yeah.
too. Although he's like, starting to figure it out.
We got to get him turned around a little bit before he starts playing sports. Because let me tell you something, in the town he's living in...
Uh-huh.
He might want to get used to it.
Wow. Wow.
I'm just saying they don't...
win as often as they
don't
would
take,
like.
When they don't take it as seriously as they should most of the time either. So.
I gotcha. I gotcha. All right, so established that Spikeball is not for Wade. We've established that Taylor Swift is not for Travis Kelce. And we move on to the next part of the show. It's time for K-State in Focus. Our focus on Kansas State athletics, brought to you by Heineken Electric in Beloit and by Hanson Auction Realty in Beloit. We focus on K-State athletics, K-State in Focus. K-State head football coach Chris Klieman at his weekly press conference yesterday shared some bad news with everyone that linebacker Daniel Green is done at K-State. Remainder of the season, he is out. He came back to K-State for a sixth year with the extra year of eligibility due to COVID. His season ended sooner than expected. A pectoral injury on the second play of the second half in the loss to Missouri. He played through the injury, but yesterday morning he had season-ending surgery. Chris Klieman on Daniel Green.
We did lose Daniel Green for the season, and he had surgery this morning. And it's been a tough day, a tough couple days around here for myself, for a lot of the six-year guys, a lot of the linebackers, because he's been the heart and soul for those guys and for our football team. And Daniel and I have been through an awful lot since the first day I got here, and I've never seen a young man grow into such a man, and what a leader that Daniel Green is and has been and will still be for our players the rest of this year. But he'll do it in a different light as more of a student coach. And so I'm gut-wrenched by losing him, and not because of just the football part of it, but just having that kid around every day at practice and being really the lifeblood of the defense. And now some other guys have to step up.
So it's a big loss for the K-State defense. There's no question about it. And then on top of that, Coach Klieman saying yesterday that Treshawn Ward is doubtful to play in the Big 12 opener Saturday night at home against undefeated Central Florida. Will Howard is questionable with his leg injury. So if he can't go, K-State fans, you're going to see a lot of the future in freshman Avery Johnson. Central Florida led by Gus Malzahn, who had a lot of success at Auburn, obviously. And he's done a good job at Central Florida. And Central Florida, one of the four new members this year of the Big 12. And what a big win it would be for Central Florida to go in Manhattan in your first ever Big 12 conference game. And you knock off a team that's not ranked now. Although I still think losing by three on the road to SEC team who was undefeated, you shouldn't go from 15 to out of the rankings. But
10 spots is pretty steep.
I think it's ridiculous. I think you could say they go down
to
20.
More than 10 spots.
Well, yeah, they went down 14 spots, I think it was, actually. You know, to me, they could have fallen to 22, 23, 21, somewhere in that range. I would understand it. So that doesn't make a lot of sense. But, you know, if K-State starts winning some games, they'll be back in the top 25 and so forth and so on. But Central Florida, that's going to be a tough game. That's not going to be easy. And then if you don't have your starting quarterback, you start a freshman at quarterback. You're missing Daniel Green, Treshawn Ward. You know, that means that you're gonna have to ride Giddens a little bit more. I mean, these injuries certainly are concerning for Kansas State. And this is, you know, we talk about before the season the potential, the ceiling of records and this and that, but we have no idea who's going to get hurt. We have no idea what players at what position. Sometimes it isn't a lot of injuries, but it's all at the same position that really hurts you. We've seen that over the years with various teams. So especially if quarterback, you're in deep, deep trouble if you're going to your third-string quarterback. We've seen that happen to some teams too. So not good news yesterday for K-State.
No, and man, when you see this thing tailspin up, we saw it that COVID year, right? Like part of it was because people were sick, but their defensive secondary got decimated because of injuries to add to the sickness and the guys that were out because of COVID each week. You know, it was a new set of guys every week, it seemed like, that couldn't play because of COVID. So it's something that you don't like to see. Times I've come across Daniel Green in that interview room, he's always, you know, consummate professional about what he's doing, and he's a guy that put his head down and went to work and is very, very important to this defense. And like Coach Klieman was saying, it's like it's not even just what we're talking about, what he does on the field. It's what he does, you know, in the practice room, you know, in those probably the meeting rooms and things like that. And he will make an outstanding student coach for this team this year. I'll promise you that. But it's not going to be the same impact, obviously, as having him out there on the field and doing those kind of things. And
It looks like a freshman's going to be in his place.
Yeah, and so when you have to replace that, and like you're saying, maybe you're replacing the quarterback with a freshman too, and you know you give Avery Johnson a chance to do some things here if he's able to play, but thrown into the fire right at the beginning of the Big 12 season is not something probably he expected or anybody expected. Mm-hmm. So, and Treshawn Ward being out just, you know, limits what you can do offensively because you've lost a body there and don't have as many reps with whoever's going to take that place when DJ Giddens needs to leave the field. So it's tough, but, you know, that's why you build a team. That's why you recruit. That's why you put teams together. And I think Chris Klieman's done a real good job of having that. We don't know a lot about the guys that are going to come in because we haven't seen them. Maybe they're going to come in and perform and be able to do the right things for this team. So that's the hope, and you just next man up mentality. It's tough to just be like that and say, hey, we're moving on from Daniel Green, but that's what you got to do.
Yep. Next man up. Our focus on K-State Athletics today brought to you, as always, by Heineken Electric in Beloit and by Hanson Auction Realty in Beloit. The K-State volleyball team is 6-3, and they'll open up Big 12 conference play at home at their new arena, Morgan Family Arena in Manhattan, tomorrow night, as they will take on TCU in a couple of Big 12 matches. Then they'll be on the road at West Virginia coming up next Wednesday. For full K-State news, go to kstatesports.com. So K-State no longer undefeated in football. The KU Jayhawks for the second straight year are 3-0. First time they've done that since the early 90s. I know Dusty played this cut yesterday from Lance Leipold, but in case you missed it, I'll play it again. And also I want to expand upon what he says in this cut, and I do want KU fans to take note. So here we go.
Our great communication staff gives me little tidbits every now and then, but to realize that, you know, this program hasn't been 3-0 consecutive years since 91-92 really says a lot about what our staff and our program and our players have really gotten accomplished. And really, sometimes you got a couple things that kind of hit me after the game. One, we better embrace victories around here. And some aren't going to be as pretty as others. But, you know, wins have been pretty darn tough to come at the University of Kansas for quite a while. And we need to make sure that we embrace them and then take it and go coach and coach harder and play harder and get it corrected and go. So when you see some of these things, you know, as you go through what we've won 4 road games since we've been here, and there's 4 road wins since 09 before we arrived. I mean, this program has come a long way in a very short period of time. And for us to take that now into conference play is going to be important. Comparing it, I don't know. I barely compare game to game. I worry about what's the next thing and what do we have to try to do in certain areas to get better.
Okay, a couple things here. First of all, KU has sold out their game against BYU. That's a sellout. So that's great news. That place is going to be packed for the Big 12 opener against BYU, who's also undefeated at 3-0. 2:30 with pregame at 2 o'clock this Saturday on Z96.3 Lake, your home for the Jayhawks in North Central Kansas. It's also been announced that KU's game at Texas coming up in a couple weeks will be a 2:30 kickoff as well. Now back to Lance Leipold, starting 3-0 again. Kansas fans that, and I can say this about every fan base. In fact, I know I have. But you have your real fans and you have your fake fans. You have your diehard fans that have gone through the ups and downs, and in KU football's case, many more downs and ups. And they greatly appreciate what Lance Leipold in Kansas is doing. And then you have your jump on the wagon fans that didn't even know where Memorial Stadium was until they started winning some football games. And now they're all going crazy. And that's okay. I've always said there's plenty of room on the wagon to jump on. But when the wheel falls off, it'd be nice if you stick around to try to fix it. But you won't.
No.
Because that's the type of person you are, right? Kansas didn't win by 28 points. They were favored by 28 against Nevada. They win 31-24. It wasn't pretty, but they never trailed in the game. Even if they did, who cares? They won the game. And it was a road game. And all you got to do is go back 2 years to where Kansas couldn't win a road game until they went to Austin and finally won one in double overtime or whatever it was. They were 28-point underdogs, not favorites, against Nevada on the road. And what Lance Leipold is saying during that quote is pretty simple. We better embrace wins around here, and that's towards your fan base. That's we better appreciate what we have. And I'm going to tell you something right now. Lance Leipold is going to get overtures from people again after this season. It's going to happen every year. Lance Leipold's there, at least for the next couple. I mean, there are people talking about he might go to Nebraska. There are other schools that were interested in Lance Leipold after last year. I mean, if you can turn around, and Bill Snyder had overtures too when he was early on at K-State, and he turned them all down. Lance Leipold so far has turned them down. Now, I'm going to tell you as a fan base, I'm not sitting here and saying that you have to embrace everything Lance Leipold says and act like he's a god. He's not, although some people thought Bill Snyder was a god after a while. Lance Leipold might have that type of status eventually. But you better be listening to what he says, because if he feels like that the fan base doesn't appreciate what has been done and where they have come from, and they don't embrace the W's, and they whine and bellyache and complain and act like you're a national championship contender before you're well even close to that, he will have options. He will have options. And so when I hear him say, we better embrace the W's around here, I would take that to heart. Now, I'm not saying that's a threat that he's going to leave the University of Kansas, but what I'm saying is he clearly has heard some stuff for him to make that comment, and he doesn't appreciate it, and I wouldn't either if I were him. Like, we've had one season where we still had – people forget this. Kansas did not have a winning season last year. Kansas had a losing record last year. They were 6-7. 5 games don't make a season. They had a losing record. They lost 6 of the last 7 games last year. It was a great move from 2-10 to 6-7 and starting 5-0. It was awesome. ESPN Game Day, it was a terrific thing. I don't think, first of all, the diehard fans could tell you what their record was last year. But all these bandwagon fans, for all they know, they think KU went 9-3. They don't know that they had a losing record. But they're jumping on the bandwagon, and they want to be a part of the party. And that's the easiest thing to do ever as a fan, is to jump on the wagon. That's the easy, easy thing. The hard part is staying on the wagon when it's breaking down or trying to fix it, as I mentioned in the analogy. And, you know, K-State learned how to appreciate Bill Snyder a little bit more when Ron Prince was the head coach, didn't they? And people tend to appreciate Bill Self, obviously, more when he wasn't coaching an NCAA tournament last year. Clearly, they missed him. You appreciate people when they're not there. That's how life is, too. You know, well, I really love this person. Really? You never said nothing about it while they were alive. You didn't appreciate what they did, whether it was work-wise or job-wise or family-wise. And then all of a sudden, they die, it's like, oh, well, they're the greatest person ever lived. It's like, where was this when they were alive? That could have helped them, maybe. Just maybe. Throwing it out there. Embrace the W's. He's absolutely right. Kansas, we don't know how many games they're going to win this year. They might go 5-7, like Dusty predicted. They may go 7-5, like I predicted. They may go 9-3. They may go 10-2, which Brian Haney says is the ceiling, and I still don't agree with that. But then again, you look at the Big 12, they could maybe get to 10-2. They could end up going 6-6 again and losing a lot of games and go 6-7, lose a bowl game. The point is that it's not very long ago. Let's not sit here and act like we're spoiled already, KU football fans, for crying out loud, dear Lord. You just the year before last year, you were an underdog in every game. You were a laughingstock still until you pulled one out of the fire in Austin against Texas. That kind of was a key noteworthy win. And then KU was competitive after that. Up to that KU Texas game where KU won, they were blown out a few times. Maybe not as often, but they were blown out a few times. And so it is interesting that how quickly we forget where this program has come from in a very short period of time, thanks to Lance Leipold. And is Kansas going to ever be a Big 12 conference champion in football? Maybe. Maybe not. Are they going to be a team that's going to make college football playoff when the expanded playoff field goes to 12 next year? Maybe. Maybe not. But if they're a program, I've said this all along, Kansas football should be a program that should at least be competing for bowl games. I'm not saying they should be 10-2 every year, but they should at least be 5, 6, 7 wins somewhere in that range. There's no reason that they can't be. And Lance Leipold's proven that. They finally have a coach. They finally have a really good quarterback. Kansas is starting to turn the corner. But before you get comfortable, KU fans, you better listen to what your coach just said. embrace the W's around here. We have four road wins in the short time we've been here, and then we had more road wins than you had the previous 12, 13 years. What he's trying to tell you is he's putting it in perspective for you. That's right. You had four road wins in 13 years, and he has four road wins in the last year and a half. It's good that you become spoiled in a way, because that means you're good again, or you're viable, you're vibrant, and you're, you know, not a what's the word I'm looking for? You're not somebody that's being kicked around all the time, being made fun of. You're not a laughingstock anymore. So I thought he made some great comments there.
Absolutely, and I touched on some of that yesterday. Sure. And it's like I feel like you do. You get spoiled so fast. When
so
you
quickly. K-State men's basketball is a great example.
Exactly where I was going is because, you know, you go into that season, and everybody's like, well, I just hope Jerome Tang can have a team that can put this that can have a chance to compete to maybe make the tournament, right? And then he just starts gangbusters, right? They go down to the islands and win the tournament, right? And they pick up a kind of couple big non-conference wins to boost their schedule, to boost their RPI or whatever it is, their resume already in the beginning of the year, right? And then they start the conference season, should have lost to West Virginia, but make the comeback. Then it goes to overtime, they win the game, right? And then they start the conference season so well. And we're talking like six games in, if this team can win the dang Big 12, and it's like, this changed real fast.
Yeah.
We're only a third away through this Big 12 season. We're talking about them winning the conference. Mm-hmm. And so from a dismal last 2 years for this program, mm-hmm. some of the worst since Tom Asbury. And so it's like you're sitting here like, okay, that changed. And then people's mentality changed mid-season, yeah, like of what they wanted from K-State. And then they go all the way to the Elite Eight. That doesn't help the mentality going into this next season. I'm going to promise you that. So it does. It changes so fast if you have any kind of success. When you have success that K-State men's basketball had, though, it's off the charts right now. And so you've built in your first year, you made the Elite Eight. That's your expectation that you've already built now.
I know. That's what I said.
Lance Leipold made a bowl game in his first year. That's the expectation. His second year. But by doing that in his second year, that's the expectation that he's built right now. But your expectation is there, but every fan base wants to see you go further.
Yeah.
If you've already been to this point, we got to go further. Right. So
and
Lance
satisfied.
Leipold is now 7, 8, 9 wins, whatever that is, to go further this year. And Jerome Tang, his only up place now is the Final Four and beyond.
Yeah,
and
much.
So you're sitting here and you get spoiled fast. Chiefs got spoiled fast, right? Like they were terrible. Yeah. Andy Reid shows up, they start the next season 9-0. And it's like now your expectation for that season has changed when that team's not really as good as what a 9-0 record would say. They had a lot of breaks go their way and they ended up winning the first 9 games of the season before they lost and then finished that year 11-5, right? And so, you know, it's just like, expectations can change fast, but it's like so many people, and it's the ones that jump on
that are the loud ones
and that complain the most about what's going on and don't appreciate what's going on.
Because they want instant gratification.
Hey, we have it. I'm in on you now. Keep winning for me.
Yeah.
And it's like, no, that's not how things work. Like you said, you can jump on this wagon, but be level-headed on this wagon because you're not helping anybody if you're not. And we see so many Chiefs fans like that right now. It's just insanity about some of the comments you read about, Chris Jones' situation or this situation or what they should have done in-game. I'm like, you don't even know who's playing for the Chiefs right now. I mean, Patrick Mahomes and Travis Kelce and the studs, but you don't care and look at the intricacies of who's actually out there and what they're actually doing.
Fans want instant gratification, especially ones that jump on a wagon, because they've joined when they're already ascending. So when they're ascending, they expect it to continue to ascend and go higher. So the expectations are higher, the immediate gratification. The real diehard fans are the ones that they've gone through the highs and lows. It's called they overcame adversity as a fan, really. And there are so many people out there that they will avoid adversity at all cost. And adversity can make you a stronger person, whether it is a fan or just a parent or a teacher or a banker or a car salesman, whatever the case, just anything that you do in life. Sometimes that can make you a better person or make you better at what you do. But it is. It's the bandwagon type of fan that seems to be the loudest. You're absolutely right. So, KU's got to be very – and by the way, going back to last year real quick for KU football. This is what people forget as well. Kansas should have never been 6-6 at the end of the year. They had no business being 6-6. They won at West Virginia, a game they should have never won. But they did. They were way behind against Houston, came back and won that game. Mm-hmm. Probably shouldn't have won that, but I'll say fine. But you know, the Iowa State game, the kicker missed three kicks and KU scored, what, 14 points? I mean, that was a horrible game to watch.
It was.
I mean, Iowa State gave that game away. So Kansas fans forget that they had two games that were kind of given away by the opponent. They could have easily been 4-8. And you know what? 4-8 would have been a successful season in my eyes because you would have gone 2-10, 4-8. And you could have argued, well, you know, a couple breaks go away, we could have been 6-6. KU got some breaks to go their way to be 5-0 to start and ended up losing six of the last seven that most people forget about. And so this year they're 3-0. Now, will those games, Iowa State and West Virginia, go their way this year? Okay. Games like that, or will they just simply be better to where those games don't end up being as close? We will find out. But the bottom line is KU is 3-0 for the second straight year, and we know that KU went a few years without even winning three games combined. And they sure as heck didn't win three in a season for a very long period of time. It was, you're lucky if you got two. The over-under for Kansas almost every year for a while was 1.5, for crying out loud. So, yes, embrace the W's. I'm with you, Coach Leipold. I'm with you 1,000% on that one. Okay, we end the show with Patrick Mahomes. Oh, this just in, Kelce and Swift broke up? Sweet! Kidding, don't know. Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs restructured their agreement. Gives him $210.5 million between 2023 and 2026, the most money in NFL history over a four-season span. His compensation for those years is now guaranteed. That's all guaranteed money. And I would say, based on the market and what the quarterbacks are getting in this league, he deserves it. The Chiefs and Mahomes plan to revisit the agreement again after the 2026 season. He is under contract through 2031, so don't freak out. Oh, my God, we're going to have to re-sign him after 2026. No, that's not what that means at all. They're just going to talk again at that point. The better news is that under his new restructured deal, it creates a potentially significant advantage for the team. In off-seasons past, including this past off-season, the Chiefs had to decide during March whether they'd be dipping into the bank of Mahomes to gain some added cap relief ahead of ensuing off-season events such as free agency and the draft. General Manager Brett Veach and company essentially had to make an educated guess on how much to do a short-term restructure for if they ultimately chose that path. Under the revised contract structure, that deadline now is being pushed back to May, thus allowing for more wiggle room and real-time freedom. Mahomes and the Chiefs agreed to push the roster bonus dates back to May from March. That allows the Chiefs to wait on how to restructure the coming year's money until after free agency and after the draft. That long term will give the team more flexibility to be creative in acquiring veterans to put around Mahomes. Those roster bonuses were previously due in March to Mahomes with guarantees attached, which makes when Mahomes earns them less relevant. So now it would be May. There are escalators in Mahomes' newly restructured deal, and they're certainly doable. He gets an extra $1.25 million tacked onto his base salary for a Super Bowl win. He gets an extra $1.25 million for winning the AP MVP award, which he's won twice, and making the conference title game, which he's done every year as a starter. He's hit those markers twice each, and if you apply that to the new deal, that adds him another $5 million on top of all of that other money that we've already talked about. So, also, we can tell you that the revised contract, this right now already, saves the Chiefs $2.5 million in salary cap room this year. His cap number, Mahomes, will increase by $10.6 million in 2024, $12 million in 2025, and almost $19 million in 2026. And you may say, oh, dear God, now we're in trouble. Keep in mind that the salary cap is going to continue to go up. And also keep in mind, in fact, there is reports that the salary cap in a few years, right now it's, what, $220 million or somewhere in that range. I forgot what it was, $226 million, that that eventually here in a couple of years it'll be over $300 million. Well, okay, so Mahomes takes an extra $6 million, but there's $75 more million. Hello, it's not that big a deal.
Yeah.
That's what fans need to understand. Of course, as we know, Mahomes became the NFL's highest paid player in the summer of 2020 when he signed that 10-year extension worth $450 million. No player has since topped that contract in terms of total value, but several quarterbacks have passed him in average annual pay, including just four this year. Lamar Jackson, Jalen Hurts, Justin Herbert, and Joe Burrow, which Dusty mentioned yesterday. Burrow was the latest to reach the agreement. 5 years, $275 million, and now has been not very good. He gets $219 guaranteed, and his deal averages $55 million per season. So Mahomes became, since he signed that big deal in 2020, with all the new contracts for quarterbacks that haven't accomplished nearly as much as Mahomes, and who possibly could in their first 5 years as a quarterback in this league, because nobody in the history of the league's done what Mahomes has done in his first 5 years. Not even Tom Brady, or Peyton Manning, or anybody else for that matter. So he was the eighth highest paid quarterback. Now with the restructure, based on the annual pay per year, Mahomes is the second highest paid quarterback, behind Joe Burrow. Now, I think we all know, and if you're being truthful to yourself, Bengal fans, if you had to pick between which quarterback you want, you would take Mahomes over Burrow. Yeah, you can have your 3-1 head-to-head. I don't care. Would you rather be 3-1 against the Chiefs and never make the Super Bowl, or only make the Super Bowl once, or would you rather be in five straight AFC title games at home every time, go to 3 Super Bowls and win 2? I think the answer is obvious, but if you want to hold on to your 3 W's and 4 matchups, congratulations. And every one of those ended up being, I think, a field goal difference. So they could easily be 3-1 Mahomes, easily. Could be 4-0 for either one of them, really. So he's still not the highest paid person at his position, even with this restructure. Clark Hunt said, when asked how the Chiefs went about determining Mahomes' worth, he said, and I quote, "I don't know that there's really a way to quantify it financially, and no matter what he makes over his career, one way or another, he'll be underpaid." Mahomes just turned 28. Once again, his contract runs through the 2031 season. And Clark Hunt is absolutely right, because the goalposts will continue to move with the next new contract for the next big quarterback, so forth and so on. And to me, this is pretty obvious. The Chiefs let all this play out. They knew Herbert was going to get his extension. They knew that Burrow was going to get his extension. Allen already got his, was it before last season? They figured Lamar Jackson get his extension. And so the Chiefs were just going to wait and see where the numbers fell. And then once they knew where the numbers fell, they said, all right, listen, Patrick, now that this is all, dust is settled with all these big deals for these other quarterbacks that we know aren't as good as you, we are going to compensate you. Because of everything that you've done, we are going to take care of you. We're going to restructure this deal. We're going to make $210 million guaranteed over the next 4 years. Guaranteed. He can get hurt tomorrow. It's all his. And you're going to be, you know, technically not the highest paid quarterback per year annually, but you have the most expensive contract in NFL history still that dates back to 2020 overall. You're also going to be the most paid, at least as of now, over the next 4 years than anybody in NFL. And you know what? The person that should be paid the most in National Football League player-wise is the guy that is the best player in the league, and that is number 15, Patrick Mahomes. Okay? And this is not – I saw people that are totally uninformed, don't have any clue what the bleep they're thinking or talking about, especially outside of Kansas City, saying that Mahomes is greedy and he demanded this money, and that's a bunch of BS. That's not what happened at all. Listen, this is no different. I mean, it is different in regards to the amount of money. Don't get me wrong. But the concept is no different than what we deal in everyday society today. How many job opening ads do you hear on the radio and you see in the paper and you see online, right? Everybody's hiring. Almost everybody needs more help, right? So there's more options for people out there all the time. You know, if you're not happy in your job, you can go somewhere else. But you might be very important to your employer where you are, okay? So if you want to keep people, what do you have to do?
You pay them.
You have to pay them, and you have to keep them happy.
Compensate them.
You have to keep them happy. Yeah. You take care of them is my point. You take care of the guy or gal that keeps all your books straight, and you know it'll be a mess if you have to train somebody new. You should take care of them. And if you don't, you're going to pay the price eventually. It's going to cost you even more money had you just paid them. This is the Chiefs simply taking care of a man that has certainly taken care of the Kansas City Chiefs. And you can sit here and you can go, wow, $210.6 million guaranteed. That's insanity. You can sit here and say $450 million over 10 years. That's insanity. Let me tell you something. The Kansas City Chiefs are not losing money.
Kansas City Chiefs have plenty of money to pay. So you can sit here at home and be complaining about how much money Mahomes makes, but you don't have to pay it, so why do you complain so much?
Yeah.
The Chiefs are still Super Bowl contenders every year, so it's not hurting the team, per se. Does it make it a little bit more difficult when you have a big cap number with your quarterback? Absolutely it does. And the Chiefs are the first one to really win a Super Bowl on the second contract of these great quarterbacks. All these others usually won on the first one. Now, obviously, and then people point to Brady took less. Well, Mahomes has taken less up front on this thing too. Mahomes has deferred money later on to help the team with the cap. So he's been patient. He's not been Chris Jones demanding more money. He hasn't gone to a final year of a deal. Of course, the Chiefs are smart. You never let him go into a final year of a deal. You never let your quarterback of any position, the only position you really got to make sure of, and you could say any position, but quarterback is number one. It's 1A, 1B, 1C, and 1D. You don't let your quarterback go into a contract year if he's a great quarterback. That is absolutely stupid. The Chiefs don't even let it come close to that. I mean, the Chiefs could have waited till 2030 on this, technically. Like, no. And they're already saying, we're going to revisit this after 2026. You know why they say that? Because they know, or they believe, that Mahomes is still going to perform at a high level up to that point. They know other players are going to get big contracts. It might not be quarterback. There might be a couple guys that get new deals at quarterback. Maybe a Trevor Lawrence gets the next big deal if he continues to play well, or another younger quarterback I'm not thinking of right now. Or it might be, you know, Joey Bosa is getting a whole bunch of money with the 49ers. Or no, it's Nick Bosa. Nick Bosa at the Niners. I always get those two mixed up. You know, there's going to be some big defensive player. I mean, Chris Jones might get the next gigantic deal. I just don't think it's going to be from the Chiefs. This offseason is a free agent. So we got to keep things in perspective from that standpoint. Forget that the money is way above your pay grade. Listen, I get it. It's a ton of money, but I'm not paying it. The Kansas City Chiefs can afford to pay Patrick Mahomes this money. They can afford to still be a really good football team by paying him this money. And they, I don't want to say circumvent, that means you cheat. But everybody's good at massaging the salary cap. They're good at maneuvering money left and right. We just saw that with Joe Tooney doing a restructured part. It's like we kick the can down the road sometimes in regards to we're going to pay them later and then later, and the players agree to this, or you make more of it guaranteed. There are so many ways, and it would blow my mind. I mean, literally, my mind would explode if I sat in and everybody explained to me how they go about making things work to be under the cap when they sign these guys to big deals. It still defies logic to me that you could sign a guy to a big deal and you have more salary cap space. That blows my mind. It doesn't make any sense to me at all. Simple math doesn't make sense to me on that. But it is what it is. It's a system you work. It's like, you know, taking advantage of the tax system, right? There's loopholes. You can do all kinds of deductions. There's things you don't even know because the tax code is like a gigantic, huge book, bigger than a book, and there's so many things in it you don't know you could do that could help you possibly. That could be the same thing with the salary cap. They got people hired just to focus on the salary cap and manage the money. Brett Beach doesn't do all this. He's got analysts, one in particular, that absolutely study this. This the only job is to make the numbers work. It's no, I mean, it's kind of like an accountant, you know, make these numbers work so I don't have to pay Uncle Sam a big chunk of money end of the year. Explore all your options. So every NFL team does this. Some are better than others at it, and I think the Chiefs are pretty good at doing what they're doing. But it also goes back to, this is why you don't give Tyreek Hill $30 million a year. This is why you don't give Chris Jones $32 million a year this year, is because you know that Mahomes' number is going to go up. You do know the cap number is going to go up, so that'll help a little bit. But you can't hamstring yourself by having way too much money wrapped up in just four or five players. Can you have a couple stars and pay them really good money? Yes, you can. You can. Can you have five or six or seven guys making gigantic money? No, you can't. You can't, because eventually there ain't going to be enough money to go around because there's a thing called a salary cap. So Patrick Mahomes is 28 years old. He's accomplished more in his first 5 years as an NFL quarterback than any NFL quarterback in history. Look it up. It's not hard to come up with. If he does anything close to what he's done his first 5 years, the next 5 years, he is severely underpaid now.
Yeah. It's like
he is taking less, is what I'm trying to tell you.
The person that comes and doesn't know what it all means, right? Yeah. And you hear that quote from Clark Hunt saying, no matter what, he's going to be underpaid, and he's making $52.6 million on average over the next 4 years. It's like, what? But, yeah, you do. In the constructs of what we're talking about here, you've got to understand what he means to not only the Chiefs, but to Kansas City, to the NFL.
The economy in Kansas City.
I mean, his reach goes far past Kansas City, too. So it's like, you know, this guy's the face of the league. You've seen him in commercials all the time, you know, just during the middle of the week and you're, you know, watching whatever show you're watching on TV, Head and Shoulders commercials going to pop up and here's Patrick Mahomes, right? Like, you're not even focused or watching football or even thinking about football. But now you're thinking about Patrick Mahomes, you're thinking about football, you're thinking about the NFL, and that's how they reel you in and keep you in.
Absolutely.
And he's done all these things that have put, you know, the NFL in a better standing since he's been there too. So, you know, you can talk about that he's making too much money if you want, but in the end it is. It comes down to the fact that the revenue stream is ridiculous. The amount of money he's made for the Chiefs, for the NFL, for the economy in his own town, right? Like, it's just insane to see what he's done. And yeah, to the normal person, $52.6 million on average per year seems insane. I don't even know what I'd do with that. But it's like, yeah, but understand where he's at and what he's doing and how much people are still continuously paying to get into these football games and still consume this product, right? Mm-hmm. And, you know, all the money they spend on Sunday ticket, all these things to consume this product, then it changes the value of Patrick Mahomes.
Absolutely. And now the Chiefs are expanding into Mexico. They've got Mexico. Yep. There's Mexican broadcast, Spanish broadcast of the Chiefs. Not every NFL team has that. You know, going to Germany, it's going to be, honestly, a good thing for the Kansas City Chiefs to market Mahomes and the Chiefs out there. Clark, the Hunt family is doing just fine. Thank you very much. I will tell you this, though. The Chiefs are very, 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 very fortunate that one person in particular has not been a problem. And it's not Patrick Mahomes, and it's not Chris Jones. It's the guy dating Taylor Swift. The Kansas City Chiefs are extremely fortunate that they have a tight end in Travis Kelce that values winning over money. Because if there's ever a guy that deserves way more money than he's making right now, it's Travis Kelce. Mm-hmm. If there's ever a guy that has the right, and most people wouldn't even disagree at all, that would say, you know, if there's ever a guy that needs to hold out, it's not Chris Jones, it's Travis Kelce. Travis Kelce is severely underpaid based on what he's done. And he's 34 now, or almost 34. And I don't know if he'll ever get a big deal again. I think he might get... If he can get through this year unscathed and still perform at a pretty decent level, he might get some kind of guaranteed money or some almost like a bonus in a way. But the Chiefs aren't going to sign him to a three-year $50 million. Well, 50 be insulting. They're not going to sign him to a four-year $80 million deal this offseason. So the Chiefs are extremely fortunate. Can you imagine if Travis Kelce did what Chris Jones did? I would throw the Chiefs Kingdom into a tizzy. And I'm going to tell you something. He would have a right to do it.
For sure.
He absolutely, honestly, he's got some agents that are very understanding, or they listen to what Travis wants. Now, and you could sit here listening at home going, well, you know, how much is enough money? And Travis Kelce apparently is okay, and that's great. But I'm saying is, if there's ever a guy that should, I'm not saying be a malcontent, and you know that he's gotten fired up in games and loses a cool sometimes, it is ironic to me that the guy that's really emotional, fired up, you would think he'd be the first guy to say, I want my damn money. We won two Super Bowls. I want my money because my career is coming to an end here pretty soon. Or he knows the Chiefs aren't going to give what he really wants and that he'll be on another team. And he's even said, I don't want to be on a team that loses and counting my money. I love winning. I love this organization. I love the atmosphere, the environment, and so forth and so on. So he's walking away, or not walking away, but he's definitely making less money than most people would be willing to do right now. Most would be holding out, striking, whatever the case may be, call it what you want. And the Chiefs are very, very lucky that he has not rocked the boat from that aspect. Because if he did, that wrecks everything. I mean, shoot, we saw how much important he was in week one. With the wide receiver core you got. So the Chiefs are extremely lucky that Travis Kelce is at least somewhat content in making what he's making. By the way, salary cap, $224.8 million this year. But as I said the other day, I think they said in 2026, that goes up to, they project it to be maybe up to $300 million. and the Chiefs are going to talk after 2026 of Mahomes again. That's part of the reason, because they're projecting the cap to go higher, which means more money, and there would certainly be a good chunk that you should give to Mr. Patrick Mahomes.
Yeah, I as a person where I'm at right now in my life, it is just absurd to think about what you do with all that money. It's not absurd that he's making it, right?
Yes.
Because I know the situation, but it's like, how much money is just being going to all kinds of different places? Like, you know, he's tying it up. There's no doubt. Like, he's figuring ways to invest it and figuring ways to obviously impact Kansas City with it. And so is his wife. And and so it's impressive to see all that, but I can't compute those numbers in my head of what you do with all that sitting there.
By the way,
he's invested in franchises and put Whataburgers in Kansas City and, you know, all kinds of different things.
By the way, and my memory does serve me correctly, so this year the salary cap is $224.8 million, so just call it $225, round it up, okay? Next year, the salary cap is supposed to be possibly as much as $256 million, and it says right here, realistically, a $300 million NFL salary cap is possible by the 2026 season if the current trends continue. So you're sitting here going, oh, dear Lord, Mahomes, that's going to keep escalating, and more money is going to count against the cap. Yeah, it will. But your cap isn't going to stay where it's at. So the percentage of what Mahomes making versus the salary cap, yes, right now looks higher, looks pretty daunting. But in a couple years, the percentage goes down unless you start giving him a lot more money and keeping that in line. Maybe there's a thing where the Chiefs and the Mahomes say, listen, you're always going to get 20%. You're always going to be 20% of our cap no matter what. So if the cap goes $300 million, you're going to get $60 million a year. That would be 25%. So maybe it's 25%. And nobody's going to sit here and be astonished if he made $60 million a year. Listen, there's NBA players that aren't even that awesome. Like Jaylen Brown, who's a very good player, but he's not a superstar yet. Jaylen Brown's getting $60 million a year. Anthony Davis just got an extension making over $60 million a year. Those guys are still making more per year by $8, $9, $10 million more than Patrick Mahomes is in the NFL. And you tell me who's putting their body at more risk. I know there's wear and tear in basketball. Get all that. They play more games. But the point I'm making is the NFL is the most popular sport in all of America. It ain't the NBA. The NBA's already got guys making over $60 million per year. Now, there's a whole bunch of stuff taken out of it, and then they get down to like 25 is what they net, which boo-hoo-hoo, they only net 25. The point is, it's a $60 million a year salary for some of these players. Jaylen Brown, there's ADE, got his extension over 60. I think there's somebody else. They're projecting now Luka Doncic and other guys coming up are going to get $70 million. In the NBA! Shoot, if I'm Joe Burrow and Patrick Mahomes, I'm going, why the hell are we getting paid less than the NBA guys? Like, Jaylen Brown's been the one NBA final. I'm Patrick Mahomes. Why? I mean, we're lucky Mahomes don't say, I want $70 million. Well, at least want $60 million because I'm sure as big of a deal as Jaylen Brown is, or Anthony Davis, who's hurt half the time, I'm at least durable. Hell, I play through injuries. Anthony Davis doesn't usually play through injuries. Like, I mean, the Chiefs are very fortunate that Mahomes and Kelce are the two leaders of this team. They're very fortunate that these guys... One, Mahomes knows the Chiefs are going to take care of him. It's an amazing relationship the Chiefs have with their quarterback. The Chiefs actually get it. They're not trying to scrape by they're not trying to, you know, be cheap and save a million or two here with Mahomes. I mean, they are in roundabout ways. But they're not saying, you know, oh, well, Patrick, we'll take care of you and keep kicking the can down the road. No, they're following through on what they tell him. You don't want to go sideways with your star quarterback. We've seen it happen. I mean, even at the end with Tom Brady and the Patriots, it happened. It happened with Aaron Rodgers and the Packers is the greatest example. Okay? Things eventually can go sideways, and it might still happen. The Chiefs may go sideways with Mahomes if he starts to not play as well, and 2026 after that season might be doom day. It might be. I don't know. But right now, the Chiefs, Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs organization, general manager Brett Veach, owner Clark Hunt, head coach Andy Reid, quarterback Patrick Mahomes, and also tied in Travis Kelce, are all one big happy family that are on the same page. And to exemplify or to expand upon that, just one more point, is that when before they traded Tyreek Hill, And you could certainly argue that Mahomes and Kelce don't need to be in on those conversations at all because they're players, right? We've heard people say, well, know your place. You're a player. You're not an owner. You know, LeBron gets criticized for that sometimes, and sometimes rightfully so. The Chiefs actually openly have talked to Kelce and Mahomes about Tyreek Hill before they traded him. Like, hey, we've got a plan here. We want you to know this is what we might be doing here because he's wanting too much. And Mahomes and Kelce have talked about how they were, you know, timid at first, but then like, okay, this makes some sense. And the Chiefs almost wanted them to kind of sign off on it. Not technically, but they wanted to make sure that the Chiefs, those players weren't in the dark. They didn't want Mahomes and Kelce to see on Twitter that they had traded Tyreek Hill. That's treating your star players with respect. And I think that's a big reason why Travis Kelce isn't the guy being that malcontent demanding more money. I think that's part of the reason why Mahomes sits there and goes, I'm going to get paid a lot no matter what. I'm worried about winning football games. You don't want to, and we see the distractions that happen with Chris Jones. You don't want that happening with Mahomes. You don't want that happening with Travis Kelce. Those are the two stars on this team. They are the most well-known names. The best player is Chris Jones, but he's not at the level of Kelce and Mahomes across the country, name-wise or anything else. So the Chiefs have done all of that absolutely really, really well. And it's also a part of the reason why they're so successful.
That's a huge reason why they're absolutely so successful. Like, listen.
You can give Mahomes all the credit in the world, but and he deserves a good chunk of it. But it don't – all this other stuff – makes it work.
Yeah, I always go back to when Brett Veach was hired, and we were sitting in here.
Andy
and a
Reid's
lot of
lackey.
People were sitting here thinking he's a yes man for Andy Reid, and he is. But that's a good thing. It turned into something that was absolutely great to be having that kind of relationship between Andy Reid and Brett Veach. And Andy Reid's a yes man for Brett Veach too. Like it goes both ways here, right? Like they both trust each other so much.
They do.
And it's easy to do that when you built what you built here. And so that trust just keeps going, and that trickles down to your star players, and it trickles down to the ones that want to be here for the right reasons. There's still going to be a Chris Jones that's going to hold out. I'm not saying he's not here to win, but there's going to be a Chris Jones that's going to hold out.
And
there's
I don't blame him. Yeah. Last contract, probably. Try to get your big deal. Don't blame him one bit. And I wouldn't blame Kelce doing what he does. I wouldn't blame Mahomes saying, I should be the highest paid player in the league. I don't blame any of them because that's the market value. The market sets your value.
And I absolutely don't blame Tyreek Hill for wanting the contract that he wanted.
Me neither.
And getting traded out of Kansas City. I mean, people are going to have different ways of looking at this and going about their business. And that's what it is. When we're talking about this, it's business. And, you know, you have to build something that people are going to trust. And I think that for people like Patrick Mahomes and Travis Kelce, too, like, there's probably agreements. They say, stay in good standing with us, and you'll have a future with this organization after you're playing, too. And you know, I don't know what that is, if it's coaching or if it's just being an ambassador or whatever. And you know, just continue to be a Chief, and, you know, we'll take care of you. And I think that the Chiefs have done that with Patrick Mahomes without question. They continue to take care of him. But I think Kelce respects what the Chiefs are doing with him, too, and being part of this whole process.
And by the way, and it starts to make some sense. We started the show with it. We'll end the show with it. It really does start to add up and make sense why Travis Kelce is dating Taylor Swift. He can't get
compensate.
Exactly. He can't get as much money from the Chiefs as he should get, but now he's dating a woman whose net worth is $740 million. That's more than Patrick Mahomes. You talk about moving on up. Remember the Jefferson song, Moving On Up? Remember that show from back in the day? Probably not if your young people are out there. Deion Sanders referenced it the other day, actually. So if Travis is hard up for some money, maybe a good enough relationship, he can, you know, get a couple million or a couple 20 million. $740 million is what Taylor Swift is, her net worth is. That's more than Patrick Mahomes. So that Kelce guy's pretty smart dude. Really smart. I still say if it causes problems on a football field, that has to end immediately.
State, regional, and national sports talk on your schedule. The Sports Ticket Podcast. Subscribe via Apple, Google, and TuneIn Podcasts or sunflowerstateradio.com.